Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Heart of the City. I'm John Kennedy. Clean air, less traffic, adequate housing. Those are some of the things that New Yorkers only dream about. But some New Yorkers aren't...
Fuck out of the way, asshole!
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 602 for the week of February 16th, 2026. I am sexy doormat David T. Cole, and I'm here with sweater folder Tara Ariano.
I miss them all.
And shirtless touch football aficionado Jessica Morgan.
Maybe we can blow some lines on my dad's inaugural address.
Welcome to Extra Hot Great for another week. Sarah is still out with family. We hope to welcome her back very soon. But in the meantime, we have a guest. She is an author, blogger, and newsletterer you've heard with us many times before. It's Jessica Morgan.
Welcome back, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
I think I very quietly called you Jessica. I'm sorry.
I think I added a syllable in the name too when I tripped up on yay button. So that's everybody, fine. Listen, Jessica. Wait, Tara, let's do it properly. 3, 2, 1, Jessica.
Jessica. Oh no, I screwed it up again. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. You can call me whatever you want.
We are here to talk about Love Story, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette. In 1992, Carolyn, Sarah Pigeon, is an effortlessly chic staffer at Calvin Klein's showroom in New York, and John, Paul Anthony Kelly, works at the New York DA's office even though he's failed the bar exam twice. Oh, and he's also the only son of an assassinated president and his world-famous wife. When Calvin, Alessandro Nivola, introduces Carolyn and John at a fundraiser, sparks fly immediately and a dinner date long afterward goes well. But John's ex, Daryl Hannah, Dree Hemingway, is still in the picture, and how he would describe their relationship probably doesn't align with how the New York Post frames it on the front page. Will Carolyn and John's love story, capital L, capital S, end before it's even begun? Yes, kind of, but if you were alive in the 90s, you know what happened next and what happened 7 years after that first meeting. Creator Connor Hines, whose previous TV experience was writing on Space Force, based the show on Elizabeth Beller's biography, Once Upon a Time, The Captivating Life of Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. The show is executive produced by Ryan Murphy, so why this isn't still called American Love Story like it was when it was first announced is a mystery to me. The first 3 episodes aired on FX February 12th. We got access to the first 8 of 9 in the season, but we will be careful about spoilers other than historical events that are already spoiled by history. Let's do the Chen check-in. Jessica, should our listeners watch Love Story?
I really thought about this a lot. I'm giving it a qualified no.
Interesting. Dave?
While watching this, I realized something, that Ryan Murphy is the Taco Bell of television. And I appreciate how much he can do with that formula. Mm-hmm. This show, not for me. I found the show lacking spark. So I'm also going to go on the no side of it.
Okay. It's a yes for me. I kind of love it way more than I thought I would. So let's get into it. Jessica, what are your qualifications for your qualified no?
I really, really went back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. I think aspects of it are excellent. I think the love story works really well. I was very surprised. Let me put it this way. The acting from everyone except Naomi Watts, I think, is excellent. Ultimately, it made me really sad. Like, everyone on the show died before their time, basically. Like, John and Carolyn are dead. John's best friend, Anthony, is dead. Mm-hmm. Jackie Kennedy is dead.
Hank.
The dog dies. God. I mean, I guess Daryl Hannah's alive, but she's annoying in this. It just
we
like,
hate her.
It really fucking bummed me out, to be totally honest with you. And I also think that Ryan Murphy has like a weird fixation on, he like gets really into the deathbed moments of powerful women in a way that I find totally grotesque. Like,
wow. Okay.
He just did this to Babe Paley. Also with Naomi Watts in a much better performance. Mm-hmm. Now he's doing it with Jackie Kennedy where he's like full face close up as these people die. And I don't have an issue with like making a story about real people. But I'm like, this is grotesque to me. Like you are so up their faces as they're literally taking their last breath. Like have a little respect. I just the way he treated Jackie dying grossed me out. I hated it. And like, I understand it has to be part of the show because it so affects the drama. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he shouldn't cover the fact that she died, but like the way they chose to do it on the back of the way they chose to handle Babe Paley's death in Feud, I thought is just like, there is something going on here that he needs to talk to his therapist about. I don't know what's up, but it really grosses me out.
Would it be worse if they did a CSI thing inside of the brain as their brain finally shuts off?
No, that at least should be sort of artistic. And I'd be like, this is weird, but like, I get where you're going.
Some real David Lynch shit happening here.
But yeah, exactly. But it was hard for me because I do think the romance stuff is really good in a way that I did not expect it to be.
Yeah, I did think they spent more time with Jackie than they needed to with her death. Mm-hmm. And especially they foreshadow it so much, like she's smoking at the table in the first episode when people are still eating, by the way, which I hope she didn't really do in real life. Gross.
And we know she dies.
Yeah.
Like, and they have her collapse like multiple times. Mm-hmm. At the end where she's like dancing around at Camelot. This is very on the nose. Like what he's doing. I thought Naomi Watts is accent, like I know people want to do the Jackie voice and it's very specific, and I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking like, is this voice right? Is it right? Maybe it's right. It's kind of right. That it just took me out of it. Like I thought all the Jackie stuff was just ghoulish. I didn't like it. I just gave me the creeps.
Yeah. So in the second episode, Calvin Klein's wife, Kelly, tells Carolyn that Calvin has been very sanctimonious since getting out of rehab, including lecturing her about drinking Diet Coke. Were you okay, Jessica?
Leave me alone, Calvin Klein. I will say, I thought watching this made me think like, I kind of miss the 90s. I had like a whole rant to my husband about how I feel like the 90s are the best decade.
Yes.
And we didn't appreciate it while we were there.
Yes.
And actually, you guys, I think will appreciate this. This is like the most 90s thing I could tell you, which is that I clearly remember John and Carolyn's plane going down.
Me too.
Because I heard about it. I was listening to a news story about it on the radio, on my car radio, as I was driving to watch The Blair Witch Project on its opening weekend. Wow. Like, is there a more 1999 statement than this?
Wow. Did you get lost and had to pull out your Thomas map guide from the back seat using your winch?
In the backside, for sure. Like, for sure I had one in the back seat of my car.
Yeah. Oh, no, my Tamagotchi died again.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. I do love all the 90s stuff. Like, I would love to see, like, a nighttime drama set at Calvin Klein in the 90s. All that stuff I love. Like, the music is good. Like I think they worked out the clothing issues from what I could tell, more or less. As old as it makes me feel, like I'm ready for a 90s period piece, which I guess this is.
Yeah.
In a way that really works. I love the Calvin Klein stuff. I think it's really fun.
Yeah. And Alessandro Nivola, I wasn't sure about him, but I think he's pretty good.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think he's excellent. I think all the Calvin Klein stuff is fun.
But I will say, like, I saw a promo last week that Evan Ross Katz is hosting the show's official podcast. And I was like, oh, come on. And looked him up. He was born in 1989. And then I looked up the guy who created this show and he was born in 1988.
Like, this upsets me.
These children are not qualified to tell our story.
No, you don't even go here.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they don't even know what magazines are. Every shot of, like, when they go to a newsstand and there's, like, it feels like 300 different magazines at any random corner in New York. It's like, we never, like you said, we didn't know how good we had it until we lost it.
You could smoke. I didn't even smoke, but you could smoke anywhere you wanted and nobody, like, made a big deal about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say, like, despite the fact that I just really bitched about Ryan Murphy's psychological problems, he is good at this period stuff in a way that I find it. Obviously, OJ was the like, I think his high point there as someone who was living in Los Angeles at that time period. Mm-hmm. He nailed it in a way that like I've literally never seen before.
Yeah.
And he is really good at that. I think he's really good at like space and time. His use of lighting is always really good. Like this show is beautifully lit. So, you know, this is why I said I had a qualified no. I think aspects of it are really good. And I love the Calvin Klein stuff. I think it's also like seeing all them picking out, like Carolyn picks Kate Moss from Obscurity to be the Calvin Klein underwear model is really fun.
Is it like Forrest Gump, where it's like, here's this person you've never really seen or considered before, and they're changing history?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's based on a biography of her, I feel like the details of her life, especially her work life, are probably better known because people are still alive who worked with her, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I've forgotten about the backwards baseball cap / let's turn this into a real Hap Kangol lines.
That and the newsboy cap was the other one. And the wallet chain. So many shots of him with a fucking wallet chain. It was like, wow, that's like, I know. Everything was good.
On the wallet chain stuff, I went to one Lollapalooza in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was the year Sonic Youth and Hole were headlining.
Mm-hmm. And amazing.
I remember the blind to get in, and they were taking everybody's wallet chains because the chains were, so you had to like either rip off the chain.
Sure. It's a weapon.
And so many people just taking out everything out of the wallet and sticking it in their pockets and then throwing away the wallet. I'm like,
we wore a lot of cargo pants then. So you did have that's pockets true. Available to you. So that's good.
And even if they weren't cargo pants, they were just big.
Can we bring back cargo pants, like make them so we don't look like total idiots if we wear them?
You have a very chic pair of cargo pants that I bought from Banana Republic like last year.
I know, but when I go outside, they throw poop at me. Get out of here.
Wow.
I'm just saying, as a society, let's bring cargo pants back. I don't have the juice to do it alone, is what I'm saying.
Right. I think they're coming back. Just hold tight. I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will say I was sort of I think the actor who plays JFK Jr. does look a lot like him.
He does.
And when he showed up in some of these like wardrobe choices, I did have that moment where I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot JFK Jr. looked like an idiot half the time in those hats. You die young and people forget you look like an idiot half the time. True. So that's something.
Or riding his bike around like so self-consciously leaving it places so it can get stolen. And this is a minor spoiler for episode 4, which I watched ahead just one. A hypercolor t-shirt appearance.
Fantastic.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Now I do think people should watch it. I've changed my vote. Watch it till the hypercolor.
Is it worked into the love story? Like somebody's having feelings and their t-shirt blooms?
I wish, but no, it isn't a very pivotal scene, though.
Okay.
Amazingly enough.
God, now I'm going to have to watch this to get to the hypercolor. Wow, that is a vast blast from the past there.
I don't watch a lot of Ryan Murphy shows of this ilk.
Except when we make you.
Oh, I just watch the, now the firefighters are in space stuff.
Oh, yeah, 911.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
But I was surprised about how much of this budget probably went into the jukebox. Mm-hmm. Because holy cow, like back-to-back songs, there's barely a moment in this show where they're not putting out top 10 hits of the era. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot of scratch.
Yeah, I've been recapping it for Decider, and we'll link it to it in the show notes, but I've been like tracking all of the needle drops in case someone wants to make their own playlist, because it is a lot of really great songs.
It's a lot of great songs, but some of them are chosen for the dialogue in that moment, which always bugs me. You can always tell when they got a lazy music director. It's like, well, what's going on here? Well, we got two people dating. What kind of people? Well, we got a man and a woman. All right, man, woman. Oh, look, Peter Gabriel's Blood of Eden. The man and the woman and the man and like, what the hell? And then the other one was A Woman's Work by Kate Bush, a song about childbirth, and the dude's just like, I don't know if my wife's going to make it through this. And it was like for their first date or something like that. It's like, come on, guys. Just read the lyric sheet before you
commit. I think
that's
the moment when they meet, so it's even less appropriate. Okay. But yeah, that said, when you open an episode and the cold open is My Lovin', You're Never Gonna Get It by En Vogue for a montage of her being mad, refusing his roses, like, yes, this is what this song was made for.
That's the episode where I was like, oh, maybe I do want to watch this. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that was good. That was a good open.
Yeah.
That part is good. The romance stuff is great.
It is. And the parts of it that are true, like that she was dating, sort of seeing this other guy who looked so much like John F. Kennedy Jr. And then she made him famous, too. You get to see her backup when Marky Mark gets fired from the campaign. The model that she's been seeing, she gets him the replacement. And then when he's on the billboard, by episode 4, again, minor spoiler, he's in a much nicer apartment than when he was just a cater waiter at Kelly Klein's Pools coffee table book party.
I remember that book. I also would like to say... Because we were sentient adults in 1999.
Yes!
Or whatever year that is.
We were reading magazines. It was in every fucking Condé Nast magazine there was. They were covering that book.
I will say I did enjoy how much the show hates Marky Mark because I also hate Marky Mark. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I mean, Marky Mark sucks, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was able to get apparently the last affordable copy of George Magazine's premiere issue on eBay. There are copies that are selling for $1,776
because, you know. Yeah, sure. Obviously. I get it.
But apparently, like, older issues are really hard to get because of all the QAnon people that believe in the JFK Jr. conspiracy theory. So they have, like, bought old issues and are, like, mining them for clues. I'm not kidding. This is true.
I like that guy that wrote the children's book with the location of the treasure nobody's found. It's like that. He's going to put in clues to his eventual reappearance.
Yeah.
His second coming.
Wow. Embarrassing. This is so unserious. Mm-hmm. This is a get a grip, you guys.
But so is the magazine, kind of. Like the cover, the big marquee story is a Q&A where John F. Kennedy Jr. interviews George Wallace, not the comic, the like segregationist governor, when he's basically at death's door.
John.
Like, why are you platforming?
Come on.
And they're in the editor's letter. It's like, we're postpartisan. It's like, oh, okay, you're just idiots.
Okay, you're a Kennedy. You're not postpartisan. Too. Give me a break.
Seriously.
I mean, talk to your uncle or cousin, please. Whoever RFK Jr. would be, cousin. Mm-hmm. But still, that's crazy.
I know. These are the things you find out when you research this show.
So you know what else is crazy? How closely the touch football scene was choreographed, like the 30 Rock version of it, where Jack Donaghy has to go and beat his personal version of the Kennedys out in the wherever.
Yeah. So of the principals, Carolyn is the one we know the least. There's apparently only like one very short clip of her even talking anywhere on the internet. So Sarah Pidgeon, who plays her, had, you know, her work cut out of her to bring her to life, but also sort of had like a lot of choices she could make. I thought she was really good. I did think it was funny when I read that the production didn't think that she could do it until her manager sent them a picture of her with her hair Photoshop blonde because she's a brunette in real life. And then they were like, oh, okay. Because I think she looks a lot like her, but she also, like, the hair does contribute to the performance. Like, there's a lot of hairography that I think, like, indicates her inner life. What did you think of her performance?
I think she's excellent. I was surprised. I didn't have any expectations. Like, I will say, generally, you know, all my Ryan Murphy issues aside, his shows usually are very well acted. So I wasn't that concerned about it. I was surprised by how good I thought she was. I think she's excellent.
Yeah.
She has a few tics that weirdly remind me of Alicia Silverstone.
She interesting.
Like does a lip bite that Alicia Silverstone does as Cher Horowitz a lot in a way that, so I mean, also very 90s. But other than that, I thought she was excellent. I think it's well acted, other than Naomi Watts, who I think is terrible. I loved her in Feud. I think she's a great actress. I think she's just horrible in this.
Well, she has the hardest job because Jackie's the character that we know the most from real life, obviously.
Of course.
In the opening scene, which is sort of a, you know, flash forward to the closing scene, we see Carolyn getting a manicure and she's originally getting her very sensibly short nails. I approve of that. Painted red and then changes her mind and said, this won't be good for where I'm going. Let's do something safe. Let's do nude. Is it more depressing to think that she died with boring nude nails?
I just think the whole thing is depressing. Like, it's just really sad.
Yeah.
I think this is why I can't do it. Like, it's just too sad for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the story of the 90s. It's like there's a lot of potentialities where a lot of different futures could have happened and then they didn't. And we ended up where we are.
Truly our sliding doors decade.
It really was. It was.
I mean, I think the 2000 election is it.
For sure. I agree.
And we fucked it up. So congrats, America. Now look at us.
Way to go, Florida.
Okay, let's not leave it on that note. Let's leave it on. If you want the 90s nostalgia, Love Story is here for you.
You will pull out your black turtleneck. I am, in fact, currently wearing a black turtleneck.
And you look effortlessly chic, like Carolyn
did. Thank you. Exactly. That's exactly true.
Got a lot of shows. It's a great time for shows.
All right, it is time to go around the dial. First up is with Tara. Tara.
Yes, I am watching season 2 of Going Dutch. Dutch boy, he works hard for your money. Thank you. This is a Fox sitcom Dave loves to say is my favorite show.
It is
not, but I like it. Mm-hmm. Dennis Leary plays Patrick Quinn, an army colonel who is such a terrible, work-obsessed, absent father that his grown-up daughter, Maggie, Taylor Mizziak, an army captain, went no contact with him for years and he did not notice. As punishment for some work stuff, doesn't matter, by the general who hates him, played by Joe Morton, Colonel Quinn is sent to run the non-combat base in the Netherlands that Maggie has turned into a world-renowned center of laundry, cheese, and bowling. As they spend more time together, the Quinns develop a little grudging respect for each other that might eventually turn into love. There's nothing particularly groundbreaking about this show. It is very joke-dense. It's stupid in the best way. A recent episode was about a protest at the base by its Gen Z-aged soldiers after Colonel Quinn's band's Shrek from movie night. Relationships grow and progress at the slowest possible pace, including between Colonel Quinn's XO, Major Shaw, played by Danny Pudi, who was in a mutual flirtation with Maggie in season one until his estranged wife decided she wanted to reconcile. Has fun guest stars. Lisa Edelstein played Maggie's mother, obviously Colonel Quinn's ex-wife in season one. Parker Young from Enlisted showed up as a CIA agent in a situationship with Maggie. The latest episode introduced the great Kristen Johnston as a Canadian general, General Martin, who was stationed at a nearby NATO base. She enters into a friends with benefits relationship with Colonel Quinn and becomes Maggie's mentor. I would love Johnston under any circumstances, so the fact that the first episode establishes that she is from Saskatoon and has a scar on her arm from a bar fight in Moose Jaw is just gravy for me. Given that Joel McHale stars in the show's lead-in and has a prior connection to Danny Pudi via Community, I'm sure McHale is going to show up here at some point, so you may need to get on board with the show before he arrives and taints it for you. But if you like shows that are fun and dumb and that generally makes their most jingoistic American character look like an idiot, it might be for you. It definitely is for me. You watched the Shrek episode, Dave. Anything to happen that changed your mind about it?
I honestly don't get this for you. It's so perfectly average and fine. It is like so oatmeal.
I think it's better than you give it credit for.
Okay. It is Hill Country Farms level oatmeal from H-E-B.
All right. For my plug, James Vanderbeek, of course, I'm sure everyone saw, died last week at age 48. I wrote a remembrance of him at Decider, and I will link that in the show notes.
All right, Jessica, you got a show here that sounds like it's either American Reality or Londoners Fleeing the City. What do you got?
I mean, the truth is I do love both of those things. And now I kind of wish it was Londoners Fleeing the City because I want to watch that.
It's kind of like The Traitors, if you put both those things together, I think.
Sure, yeah. But no, as usual, once again, I'm here to recommend truly lowbrow entertainment. And I do not apologize for that. I don't believe in a guilty pleasure. And I'd also like to point out that I recommended the country music television version of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader show for like years and years before Netflix and everyone else got on board. I was an early adapter. People need to follow my lead here.
Tastemaker.
Yeah,
thank you. This time I'm here to recommend the Bravo reality show Summer House, which is in its 10th season, but which started up again just last week. The conceit here is very simple. If you're unaware, a bunch of people have a share house in the Hamptons. Drama ensues. And then because it's been on so long and the core cast hasn't changed that much. We've gone through a lot with these people. Like two of them fell in love. They got engaged. Then one of them decided he didn't want to marry her and he broke off the engagement on camera. And now she's had a baby with another man. That all happened like 2 years ago. Dramatic. Yeah. Now that guy's showing up wearing like a huge hat. I don't know why he's like a hat guy now. So the previous season to this one was a little shaky because they have been trying to introduce some new young cast members and they don't always gel. But this season has gotten off to a promising start. They have two new girls who are really funny so far. They had a big 4th of July party and one of them spent the whole time wearing a hat that made her look like an ear of corn, which I thought was cute. There's a lot of like hat stuff going on this year.
Yeah.
And most interestingly, though, this whole season seems to be focusing on Kyle and Amanda. This is a couple whose courtship, engagement, and marriage have all happened on the show. Now it appears their divorce is happening. They have announced they're getting divorced. From the start, them getting married seemed like a very bad idea. Like, she's young. She wanted to move to the burbs and have babies. And he is a 41-year-old who has just announced he wants to be a DJ. And you could really, really tell that they hate each other right now. It is perversely compelling television to watch them just loathe each other on TV. I don't know if I've ever seen two married people hate each other more clearly on television. And this sounds like a bummer, but it is not. I think Kyle's going to be very happy as a single 41-year-old DJ, and she's going to get married in like 18 months. It is satisfying to feel like the entire viewing audience was correct in how this relationship was going to pan out. And if you haven't watched the series before, I'd argue the whole thing's a fun watch. Like, you can skip season one. They don't know what they're doing the first season. But 2 through 8, I think, is a fun way to disassociate if you need to. And you might.
And you might. Very good. What do you have to plug?
Just same old, same old. Like, come watch. You know, we're in award season, so come by, go fuck yourself if you want to see people wearing dumb stuff on the red carpet or good stuff. People don't look as dumb as they used to anymore, which is sad for me. We are doing live chats about the Olympics every day at our newsletter right now, which is called Drinks with Broads.
Fun.
So in case you need someone to like talk to you about slope style skiing, we're here. And we're also running our regular twice weekly newsletter. So that's it.
Two things. I thought you said Snopes style skiing, like sure. All about the conspiracies involved with the skiing racket.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great. You can bring that up if you want. Come into the chat.
And as far as those fashions you were talking about, did we peak with Bjork's swan dress? Was that sort of the last great thing?
Maybe. Yeah, I think you could argue that for sure. Like, I think people looked the worst in like 2001 to 2008.
Mm-hmm. It's just another reason to go back to the 90s.
I know. I wish people wouldn't listen to us. Like, don't listen to the fashion police people. Like, wear whatever dumb shit you want to wear. It's much more interesting.
I mean, that sort of stuff is like, I could go to HEB and there's like somebody shopping. They got like a bear. I don't even know what it is. suit/pajamas,
like,
you know,
a onesie.
Just like, right. Metal onesies. You can go grocery shopping in that. You can certainly one up a swan at the Oscars.
Yes. Wear a bear onesie to the Oscars. That would be ideal. Please. I wish someone would do that.
All right. Here's what's coming up this Friday on our bonus podcast, Extra, Extra Hot. Great. Available to club members. We'll be talking about strip law, where stripping is the law.
No,
don't tell me what it's about. That's what it's about until we watch.
Okay.
Yeah. That is available to club members. Go to extrahotgreat.com/club to find out more and to sign up. And then come back next week right here, EHG Prime. Yes. We're talking about season 2 of Paradise. Is the show where they all live in a dome. And we'll welcome back Allison Lewis to talk about that. Can't wait.
Woo.
Is this worse than jazz?
I haven't heard that in a while. Fuck me, that's good. All right. Is this worse than jazz? I know Tara's already heard what I'm talking about today, but I'm going to suspect Jessica probably isn't watching Star Trek Academy. Not high schooly enough even. For Jessica.
Starfleet Academy.
Sorry, what did I say?
Star Trek.
Star Trek Academy. Yeah, same thing.
I'm not watching either of those two things, no.
All right, good. So we got one that knows what's coming, and we have one that has no idea what is coming. In Starfleet Academy, Jessica, Paul Giamatti is sort of the middling level villain.
The way Jessica's eyes popped is correct. That is the right reaction to finding out he's in the show.
He's got face stuff, and then on the side of his head, because reasons, he's got a tic-tac-toe board shaved into the side of his head like it's Batman in the 80s.
Oh my God, this sounds good. I'm sorry.
We're going to see.
Okay.
All right. So here is Paul Giamatti in the 6th episode of the 1st season meeting with Starfleet because Starfleet needs some help with some aggressive aliens that they have met. Here is Paul Giamatti explaining the situation.
Here's what you need to get about the Furies. They hate being Furies. Yeah, they're in ball-clenching, sphincter-puckering pain all the time. And the only relief they get is to just spooge it all over other people.
Come on.
Oh, I wish I was recording video. Oh, man, that was great. All right, so you've heard it now. Now, my question is Paul Giamatti's line about spooging over things, I'm going to guess the Star Trek first, worse than jazz? I got to get your take first after that performance on Zoom.
Oh my God. My eyes are literally watering. Yes, that is the worst. I want, no, I can't take this. It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
So,
it's horrible.
if there's a meter and it said more likely or less likely for you to watch Starfleet Academy after that, where's that needle going?
He's only a recurring guest star.
Listen, you did have me with like the tech-tech-toe stuff. I was like, this sounds great. This is so against type. This is crazy. I might be in. But then I had to hear him say the word spooge and like, no, out. I can't do it.
So it sounds like worse than jazz for you.
Yes.
All right. Tara, what are you thinking?
I agree. This is not what I want in my Star Trek, especially after just last week we watched the lovely series finale of Star Trek The Next Generation, which was, again, 90s excellence. It was like so elegiac and lofty. And then to go from that to spooge, especially that word, it's like so juvenile.
Adam Grossworth in the Discord comments spelled it S-P-O-O-J. It made me laugh so hard. It really does feel proper. Like maybe it's in the script that way.
Spooge. Yeah. No, it's worse than jazz. I don't care for that. This doesn't make me want to rejoin the show.
All right. And I don't want to get whatever Blue Sky tweets are called in emails. So I'm just going to put this out there.
No.
Is this worse than
jizz? Okay.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's time for the Extra Hot Great Canon. Presenting today is Tara Ariano.
Hello. Hi. There have been two shows called The Bob Newhart Show, one that aired for a single season starting in 1961, and one that ran for 6 seasons starting in 1972. That one, the one you've probably heard of before, is about a psychologist named Bob Hartley, played by Bob Newhart. He has a busy practice as a psychologist, as I said. He shares office space and a secretary named Carol Kester, Marsha Wallace, with a dentist, Jerry Robinson, played by Peter Boners. He also has a wife, and she is the focus of the episode I'm talking about today, Season 2, Episode 17, The Modernization of Emily. Here is why I think it's canon-worthy. Number one, it establishes its premise efficiently. As a couple, Bob and his wife Emily, Suzanne Plachette, are reliably steady, so much so that the episode opens with them in a supermarket, buying the ingredients for Emily to make the same meal she made them on their first wedding anniversary and which she has made again for each subsequent anniversary, of which this is their 5th. One senses this is not the only routine that governs the Hartleys' life together. Later, when they've finished eating, they recall how their previous anniversary dinners went. Clip one.
Better than our first anniversary dinner?
I think so. Our first anniversary, you boiled the filet mignon.
Yeah. Well, you didn't seem to care. We didn't eat dinner till 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you remember?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah,
and then on our second anniversary, we ate at midnight. And on our third at 10. And last year at 8. And this year at 6 sharp. You think that means anything, Bob?
I think it means on our golden anniversary, dinner will be breakfast.
Bob seems like he would be perfectly happy on this track, but Emily has had an unsettling experience. Their box boy at the supermarket just reminded her that she was his third grade teacher 10 years ago, and now he is in college. Clip two.
Well, I never would have recognized you. How did you recognize me?
Well, you look pretty much the same.
Oh?
Except older.
Well, it's been 10 years.
It sure has.
And my hair is a lot shorter.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Well, you still teaching? I mean, you haven't retired, have you?
No, I'm still hanging in there.
Maybe Emily would have been able to move on from this shock to her system if not for Bob's choice of anniversary gift, clip three.
blender?
A blenderizer. You've been hinting about, you want it.
A blenderizer?
Well, it's not just a blenderizer. It's a 32-speed blenderizer. I mean, it's the best they make. It not only parades, it chops, it mixes, it liquefies, it pulverizes. And you're not crazy about it, are you?
Well, it's not that, Bob. It's just that I didn't expect a blender. I mean, I kind of pictured something a little more personal.
Glad I didn't get the trash masher.
Even the Hartley's idiot neighbor, Howard, Bill Daly, almost backs into recognizing this gift as a fuck-up, clip 4.
Yeah, I gave my mother one like this for her 60th birthday. You know, Bob, you're a lucky guy. If I ever gave Lois anything that practical, she would have hated it. I mean, she liked frilly and lacy things, you know. That's because she was so dainty and so feminine. Emily is so sturdy.
So Howard tries to open the very old champagne that he has regifted them. Nothing happens when the cork comes off. Emily is so dismayed, she runs into the bedroom, slamming the bedroom door and then the ensuite door, which is how Bob knows she wants to be alone. In less than 10 minutes of screen time, we've got a clear picture of the situation. Emily is starting to feel her age and she's rattled. Number 2, it lets Emily be a clown. The later comedies about therapists like Frasier and Shrinking would lean into the idea that a mental health practitioner could have as many issues to deal with as their patients. Bob is usually the stable stoic center here. He and Emily are more often sardonically commenting on the lunacy of the characters around them than doing anything terribly wacky themselves. This episode is a departure, with Emily making the wacky choices everyone else has to react to. Over lunch, Bob tells Jerry he has seen her this angry before and that she has previously gotten through it by giving herself a makeover. One time she came home a blonde, another she got her ears pierced. So Bob is wary when he gets home, calling through the bedroom door to see if she's a blonde again. Of course not, she says. She has instead got a wig to artificially lengthen her wedge haircut, an Argyle cardigan with matching knee-high socks, a sequined graphic t-shirt, which honestly would probably still work today, sorry. Denim pedal pushers and chunky wedge sandals, clip 5.
Well, what do you think, Bob?
You're groovy.
Bob, I really want to know what you think.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I want your honest opinion.
I like it.
Bob, I mean, I really want to know what you think.
Emily, I think that's the stupidest looking outfit I have ever seen in my entire life.
She runs out. Bob has no idea how to deal with this new version of Emily, whom Jerry can't believe could ever look ridiculous, and brags that he's over 30 and still a fashion pace setter. And he's not wrong. His Tommy Tooth Says Keep On Brushing shirt would probably go for $40 minimum at a vintage store today. But everyone gets a look at Emily's latest makeover at an anniversary party. She's in a sequined denim jacket, a denim maxi skirt made out of recycled jeans with a toile patch in the middle, and another sequined t-shirt, this one with lips smoking a cigarette. Howard's date, Rosalie, future Cagney and Lacey star Sharon Gless, is surprised Emily's so young, and as they get to know each other, they start to bond, and then stop, clip 6.
What do you do?
I'm an elementary school teacher.
Really? Well, so am I. Where do you teach?
Commodore Sloat.
Oh, well, that's really close to my school. You should come over sometime at lunch and we can talk. You know, we have so much in common.
Oh, I'd love to. And then maybe you and Bob could come on over to my place, or we could go out. Do you like chicken on a stick?
I don't know. I never had it. I mean, I like it in the basket.
No, chicken on a stick plays rock music.
Oh, that chicken on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just love them.
Him.
Him.
Yeah.
When Carol and Jerry join the party, they are also taken aback by Emily's getup, clip 7.
Jerry, you remember Emily, the leader of the pack?
Well, Jerry, it's a new look. You got to get used to it, you know?
I'm used to it already, and I love it.
Carol, what do you think?
What do I think? Oh, well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I wasn't sure what I thought. But now I am.
Yeah, so?
I'm not so sure.
We find out the Hartleys have asked for gag gifts only, which requires Carol to do some quick thinking. Clip 8.
Before you open that up, I would just like to say one thing. Now, that is no longer a gag gift.
Are you afraid your joke's going to bomb, Carol?
No. It's just that I feel that anniversaries are solemn occasions, and every once in a while you need a serious gift that's in impeccable taste.
Okay, well, let's see. To Emily, who has perfect taste, a gift that has none from the House of Tacky. Carol, that does not sound too serious to me. Let's see.
It's the t-shirt she's wearing.
Why don't we take another look at the apartment, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Oh, yeah. Let's, come on, chair.
Well, it could be worse, Emily. It could be the whole outfit.
After everyone has left, a humiliated Emily is back to her reliably steady self in a flannel nightgown out of the wig. Bob's advice is for Emily to be herself, and whoever that is, he loves her. She agrees, and she's got an idea. Clip 9.
Why don't you put those silk pajamas on, and I'll slip into a negligee, and...
Yeah?
We can go out in the kitchen and cut up some vegetables and throw them in the blenderizer. Let them just whip themselves into a frenzy.
Order may have been restored, but Bob is really going to have to do better on her gift next year. Number 3, it's full of reminders of what makes a multicam sitcom so charming. The one-off supermarket set, hilariously unconvincing. The curmudgeon behind Bob and Emily, doing material straight out of the Catskills. The audience's reactions to Emily's outfits, appropriately amazed. A gag about writing a check at the supermarket, aimed straight at David T. Cole. The modernization of Emily stands out from the rest of the run of the Bob Newhart show, and it stands out on a pair of very clunky sandals. Put those sandals in the canon.
Thank you, Tara. Jessica, you want to take first crack?
I hadn't seen this episode in a really long time. So when I was a kid, my mom, here in LA, Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart were on in syndication at like 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so my mom would put them on while she made dinner, and I've seen almost all of them. So I feel very like cozy when I'm watching Bob Newhart. Hi, Bob, as we, for all mankind fans know it. Mm-hmm. Getting to like revisit this was delightful. I feel like Emily doesn't get to do, she doesn't really get to be the star of the show that often, yeah. If I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of fun to get to see her really be the center of a story for once. I thought this episode's a little unusual because we don't see any of Bob's clients. Mm-hmm. And I do think I miss the patience a little bit. But, you know, it's like a 30-minute show. You can't fit everyone in there. They're not inviting Bob's patients to their party. Suzanne Plachet is so, she's so sweet in it. You kind of want to hug her. As a person who's aging, I found it kind of relatable where you're mm-hmm. like, oh, God, I'm so old. And plus, it, you know, I spent the whole episode thinking, like, who is this young actress? Like, I recognize her. And then it came up and I was, Sherry Glass, that's fun. Mm-hmm. So like, that was sort of a fun little Easter egg as well. No, I think this episode's pretty delightful.
We do get Mrs. Baker met at the supermarket. So there is a little bit of client and reminder of what Bob does, because he's helped her ask for
a boss boy. The office mm-hmm. talking to, what's his name, the dentist?
Jerry.
While Jerry's stealing his lunch. Yeah. And I do love Jerry, but I miss a little bit of the group therapy, but I don't know where they would have fitted in this episode in the first place.
The actress who is the patient that's running the till at the grocery store, is that the one whose first name is Florida?
I don't remember that. I don't think so.
There's somebody on the cast named Florida.
I think it's Loretta, but I'll look it up.
Okay. Anyways, great episode. How much do I want Tommy Too says keep on brushing
I'm
shirt?
I'm saying.
It's big enough that I feel like I might be able to reproduce it and just do like one for David T. Cole. And then everybody's like, where do you get that? And I'm like, nowhere. Chicken on a Stick as a band name. Also wouldn't mind t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But before I finish up, I just want to say, Jessica, you didn't talk about like the fashions in a U.
Sorry, this podcast episode was big on fashion across the board.
Yes.
Let's rate Emily's get-ups.
I honestly think this show as a whole is surprisingly stylish. Like, I think their apartment is very chic. Mm-hmm. I realized watching this that I think my mom bought one of our sofas because it looks like the one in this apartment. I think Carol, the secretary, always looks amazing. Like, I feel like the whole time I was like, I don't know what she's wearing, but I want to wear that.
Yeah, her jumpsuit at the party was great.
Oh, cute. It's so funny to watch this because, you know, speaking about the 90s, there was this whole like 70s revamp in the 90s where we all kind of revisited it. Mm-hmm. And as Tar pointed out, some of Emily's like, in quote unquote, embarrassing youthful t-shirts, 100% people would wear now.
Like, totally.
The lips smoking, like, this is cute. I think mm-hmm. it's sort of cute. Mm-hmm. But obviously the way she's styled is very over the top. Like, socks with the platform sandals? What are you doing? It's just, I think it was really well done in the fact that it is obviously bonkers on her as a character. Like, for a person, she would never wear this. Mm-hmm. But not so, like, crazy, crazy that you'd wear it and you think, there's no way this woman would buy this. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was actually very well done in that she, it obviously everyone thinks it's totally nuts on her. But it's not so nuts that it's like not believable that a person could purchase this. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very thoughtfully done.
Mm-hmm. My favorite line is when Emily comes out in her second outfit, which is sort of like the disco grease outfit, you know?
Yeah.
Bob just introduces her as the leader of the pack, which made me laugh out loud. I thought that was such a great joke. Mm-hmm. I always sort of forget how dry this is because you don't usually get something this dry in American sitcoms, right? Because this is like kind of feels like a British show in its tone, more so than stuff that was airing in the States at this time. So I always reappreciate that every time I come back to visit this show. And the only other thing I wanted to bring up, and it is a fashion item, what was up with her Little House on the Prairie nightgown right at the end before she has to slip into something more comfortable?
I have a nightgown just like that. And I would like to point out, it's extremely comfortable. It's not sexy. Mm-hmm. This is what you wear when you're like, I'm going to bed and it's freezing. Mm-hmm. It's from L.L. Bean and it has pockets.
Nice.
And it's very comfortable. I highly recommend. But yes.
Cargo pants of nightwear?
Yes, it is. It's got pockets. It's warm. It's not sexy, but it's very cozy.
All right.
So, but yeah, that's, you wear that when you're like, I'm a sensible lady and I'm going immediately to sleep. Good night.
Yeah. I think during the pandemics, when we started our not rewatches, but discoveries of classic sitcoms we'd never really engaged with in their true fashion before, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart,
Taxi.
Yeah. So, and this one I think was my favorite of those. I think Mary Tyler Moore has more of a legacy, but Bob Newhart Show was my personal favorite.
It's funnier, I think.
It is funnier. And Bob Hartley as a character, I love. I think it's because it does remind me of British sitcoms of the era too, like kind of a Fawlty Towers sort of flavor to it. Great, good episode. Nice to see Emily at the center of it. The other one that reminded me of is the Fear of Flying episode that she was central to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, let's put this to the official vote. Jessica, what say you for the canon?
I say yes.
All right, me too. So, perfect score. The Bob Newhart Show, Season 2, Episode 17, The Modernization of Emily. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time to discover our winner and a loser of the week. I have this week's winner. It is Saturday Night Live. They are booking the Gorillaz, just Gorillaz, Dave, not the Gorillaz, as a musical guest for the first time ever.
You folks ready to begin?
I guess. Is this episode going on the air live?
No, Homer. Very few cartoons are broadcast live. It's a terrible strain on the animator's wrist.
All right, we'll see how it goes.
The Gorillaz on a stick. Yeah, speaking of Saturday Night Live, our loser is Jimmy Fallon, who has been forced to cut ties with Tommy Mottola because Mottola appeared in the Epstein files, and now Fallon and Mottola are not going to be collaborating on a pasta sauce together. Sad face. That is all true. There is not a product this man will not endorse. He is such a whore. But I guess he finally reached his limit, and now we know he has one.
Right. But Jimmy Fallon's just turning into Smeagol, right? That's his path?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That sounded like a Mad Lib.
I know.
Like, celebrity product. I know. What the hell? Why would I want a tomato sauce from either one of these people?
What is Jimmy Fallon bringing to the discussion of what goes in a tomato sauce? You got one that laughs at its own jokes.
One that breaks constantly.
Four times as much vodka in it as other sauces.
The one that if you leave it in your cupboard long enough, it'll make another lip sync show for you. Like, what's going on here?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of rapping lip sync shows, you know what time it is?
Speaking about Jimmy Fallon coming in to do your show for you.
Yes. Do you?
I believe it's game time.
It is. It is, of course, it would have been a non-regulation game time under any circumstances with Sarah being out, but it is a non-regulation game time written by me because when I went into Dave's office on Saturday and said, I'm just reminding you now so that you don't get mad that I didn't remind you later. We're recording on Monday, not Tuesday. And the look on his face, like I'd crushed his gentle spirit, maybe offered to do a game time. So that's what's happening. Dave was able to roll out of bed and come to the podcast.
Not mad, frustrated. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at you.
I know.
I'm just frustrated at that situation sometimes that I forget and suddenly I've lost a day. It was fine because it was a light load. Thank you to Tara.
So this is Promotional Considerations 2. It is a sequel to a non-regulation game time we played back in Extra Hot Great 225, a game about fake commercials from TV shows. They run the gamut from fully produced commercials we see the characters watch to promos for other series in the show's universe. I will play you a clip, or rather Dave will, and for 3 points, you can tell me what show the clip is from. If you need a hint, I'll tell you the name of a star of the show who may or may not be heard in the clip, and then it's worth 1 point. No show appears in the game more than once. A couple have been edited down either for giveaway content or for length, and I will let you know before we get to an edited one that it is edited. There are 16 questions and a tiebreaker. No steal meals, no gross worth equalizer challenge zones. Winner gets a gift related to an answer they got right. Let's throw it to Picky to see who is going first.
We will start with David.
Ooh.
We will start with David. Dave, can you keep score?
Tara, it would be my honor.
Are we ready to play Promotional Considerations 2?
Yeah!
Yeah!
All right. Question one, and of course, all of the odd questions are for Dave. Let's hear clip one.
Hand them over.
They're mine.
No, they're not.
Pipe down, you two.
Tore them last time.
They're mine.
Take it easy, you two. For a limited time only, Blue Genie's Blue Jeans is offering a 50% discount on young women's and petite sizes at participating stores.
So we can both get our own pair?
That's right. And while you're at it, why not slip into a brand new fit with our outrageous Lady Capri hip huggers?
Thanks, Blue Genie.
Now, has anyone seen my lamp?
What is the show?
Almost tripped me up because it's been a hot minute since I watched it. And I put together Phil Hartman and Studio Laughter, and I was all set for Saturday Night Live. But I do believe this is, in fact, Bill McNeil down on his luck doing shitty ads on news radio.
That's correct. He's not down on his luck. He's just greedy.
Well, okay.
All right. Let's hear clip two for Jessica.
Ichiban. Ichiban, lipstick for men. Ichiban, lipstick for men. Saiko.
Oh, Joey Tribbiani on Friends.
That's right.
I can picture it. I can see that one.
It's so funny. It's still so funny.
Is the lipsticks are like blue?
Yeah, they're
is
like blue and purple and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, clip three is for Dave.
Call Roto-Rooter when you flush a towel.
And we can also help with an impacted bowel.
Roto-Rooter.
That sounds like Futurama.
That is correct for 3 points.
Excellent.
That was a jingle that ran through my head a lot last fall when we had to get our full sewer system rebuilt and got about 7 different estimates on it because.
Oh my God.
Yeah, let me tell you this, guys. You don't want that.
Nope.
No. I don't want that.
All right.
But now, holy cow, the sizes of poops I can put through that system.
Congrats.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
I'm flushing towels just for fun. Yep. All right, let's hear clip 4 for Jessica.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dennis Feinstein. And if you're anything like me in these uncertain times, you're searching for a new scent or musk that also repels and eradicates any and all viruses. Introducing Miracle Cure, the cologne proven to kill anything it comes in contact with. How do I know that? Because every single animal that smelled it, tasted, or ingested it died. And what are viruses but tiny animals that live in your body? I know what you're thinking. Shouldn't this be tested out by scientists or looked at by doctors? No, you should listen to me, Dennis Feinstein, and my rich friends. We know what's best for you. Miracle Cure.
Whoa.
Jessica looks puzzled.
So, yeah.
I am puzzled. What are the hints I can ask for?
You can ask for a hint and I will give you a star of the right. show. Not necessarily like one that's in the clip.
Okay. I would like a hint, please.
A star of this show, not in the clip, is Amy Poehler.
Okay. Do you know who's in the clip, just out of curiosity?
No. I mean, I can't name it. I recognize the voice, but I don't know who it is. Is it Parks and Rec?
Yes. It's from the Zoo special that they did.
Oh, I never watched that. Oh my God. Thank God I asked for that clip.
Yep.
I would have been stumped without the clue because, well, first of all, that is Jason Benzoukas, right?
Yes. He was not a cast member, though. He was only a recurring star. He played Dennis Weinstein in several episodes.
Only knowing it was Jason Benzoukas, that narrows down the possible pop culture properties like 10%.
Because you know it's not the league because he's not named Raffi.
Okay, oh my God, I got it. Thank you, Amy Poehler.
So 1 point for that.
1 point for that.
Got it.
Dave, clip 5 is for you.
Bonsai. Daniel LaRusso here for LaRusso Auto, bringing you specials on all of our inventory. We have an excess of Jeep Grand Cherokees priced to go. Get a lease for only... make that... Yes, we are chopping prices on all of our Hondas, Nissans, Acuras, and Audis. So come visit any of our locations in Tarzana, Woodland Hills, North Hollywood, or Sherman Oaks. And as always, every customer leaves with their very own bonsai tree. LaRusso Auto Group. We kick the competition.
Is that from the pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like Cobra Kai.
That is Cobra Kai. All right, next is for Jessica, clip 6.
There's no I in Timosil, at least not where you'd think. So together, let's make a choice.
And for once, we'll be in sync.
Timosil.
I never thought I knew you well.
Timosil.
But now I think we really gel.
Timosil is no longer available. Please try their group hug bond ad or consult your own wellness guide.
Timosil!
Jessica looks so confused right now.
I am confused. The guy kind of sounded like Zach Braff. Is it Scrubs?
No. It is not Scrubs. I'll let you guess again. Do you want the clue?
Yeah.
That's
fair.
A star of this show and is in the clip is David Cross.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't want to guess a David Cross show?
No.
Okay. What is it, Dave?
I don't know. Arrested Development? I have no idea. Is he even in
I'll give it to you. Yes.
It is Arrested Development.
It is.
See, that, Jessica.
That's why you guess.
That's why
you're
right, you always
you're right,
guess.
You're right. You're right. I should always guess.
I'll give you that one.
You're correct.
Wow, it's non-regulation game time. Who cares?
All that's right. True. You're right. Anything goes.
Clip 7 is for Dave.
Really went on a journey there with Jessica's gamemanship. All right, here we go.
Is your husband tired of you burning his toast? Try our new and improved Toastmate 2000. It's the go-to for clever housewives.
Say, this machine has some shine.
You said it. Set the dial and get the taste back into your toast. top and bottom heating elements can handle anything, from meatloaf to cherry pie to open-faced cheese sandwiches. The all-new Toastmate 2000 by Stark Industries. Forget the past. This is your future.
All right. Well, I'm glad for that end because I was thinking Fallout based on the music and all the little things and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, it is Fallout-ish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Stark Industries means it's something Marvel and it's something on TV. Oh, it's probably... Okay, right. Okay, so it's a commercial. It's in the past. So I'm going to guess this is WandaVision?
That's correct. From the series premiere. And that's the one where you can see the red light. It's all black and white, but the light on the machine is red.
Right.
All right, we'll do clip 8 and then we'll do a score break. Clip 8
that is Schindler's List.
For Jess. It's one of the many things those two projects have in common. Okay, clip 8 is for Jessica.
Without a Mayor Quimby, our town would really stink. We wouldn't have a tire yard or a mid-sized roller rink.
We wouldn't have our gallows or a shiny Bigfoot trap.
It's not the mayor's fault that the stadium collapsed.
Quimby, if you were running for mayor, he'd vote for you. Paid for by the mayor, Quimby for mayor, mayoral committee.
Simpsons.
It is the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, let's get those scores. I've been keeping track too, so we can make sure we match.
All right, here are your scores according to me. Tara, I'm going to ask you for confirmation after each one. David T. Cole, currently in the lead with 12 points.
Yes.
Jessica, close behind with 8.
That is true, but there's still a lot more game to play. Let's get back to it.
So, Tara Ariano, you do confirm.
I do. I concur.
I concur. Oh, concur. Right.
Concur.
Fuck that. Damn.
Cliff 9 is for Dave.
Roll the dice, spin that wheel, double down on a lucky deal. Feel the breeze where the boardwalk meets the shore.
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
I'm going to listen to that one more time, please.
Roll the dice, spin that wheel, double down on a lucky deal. Feel the breeze where the boardwalk meets the shore.
I have guesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can guess, and then if you're wrong, I'll give you a hint.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I forgot about that new twist. I'm going to guess this is Fallout. I didn't think so. I thought maybe it was the Vegas stuff because I heard like a pig or a monster grunt. Mm-hmm. But then there's like the boardwalk, which didn't make total sense. But I thought I'd go for it. All right. Hit me up.
Your hint is Matt Berry.
Oh, damn. That was Matt Berry?
Well, that wasn't Matt Berry, but he's in the show it's from.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm just going to say What We Do in the Shadows then, just based on American singing. Okay.
That's correct. From the episode where they go to Atlantic City.
Of course. Yeah.
That's when Colin gets addicted to the looping promo for the casino they're in.
Right. And Guillermo has to go to...
He has to go and get all their ancestral soils.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Clip 10 is for Jessica.
Her husband may have froze, but she's just heating up. This fall, America's favorite mom is moving to daytime with Pat.
My son chased his dreams and now I'm chasing mine.
Pat, weekdays at 4.
Saturday Night Live? No.
Nope. Oh, but good guess.
I need a hint.
It is Molly Shannon.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know a Molly Shannon show. Is she on? Is she on Loot? Loot? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. She could be. Who
she
knows?
She could. What is it, Dave?
This is The Other Two.
It is The Other Two.
Yeah.
Oh, I never watched that. Yeah, I was never going to get that.
From SNL co-head writers, formerly.
Yeah.
All right. This is one of the edited ones. Okay. Let's hear clip. I won't say what I edited for, but if there's a... Okay, I guess I will.
That's fine. What? Just tell me what you edited out, the names.
I edited out a name.
Yeah, what name?
Let's hear clip 11.
Who's that walking through an awesome landscape recording a piece to camera? It's your very own
featuring a vaguely realistic face, similar clothing, and a total lack of mannerisms. But that's not all. Also sprouts facial hair, witnesses the crucifixion, and lays eggs. Pop off her head, tip her over, and whoops-a-daisy, real blood! And the fun doesn't end with mopping that up. Pilots her very own spacecraft, the USS Triceratops, with her intergalactic friends, Captain Shitpeas, Mrs. Benson, and Barnaby Nine. Together, they tour the galaxy repairing black holes and mutilating cattle. Cows. Available from all good retailers. May contain pine nuts. Side effects include spontaneous combustion and melancholy. Terms and conditions available on our website. Do not feed after midnight. Remember to hydrate forever and ever. Amen.
Wow. Does not ring any bells. Mm. Sounds animated, but who knows? I guess... Oh, I gotta take a... All right, I'm just gonna throw a guess. I don't think this is it, but just because I think it might be living in Tara's brain. Is this anything to do with Ha Ha, You Clowns?
No. Your hint is Diane Morgan.
So, I wish I was paying attention to the content rather than the voices. Well, this is Kunk on something. Mm-hmm. What were they talking about? Kunk on Earth?
I'll give it to you. It's Kunk on Life. All right. It's the one-off special.
You don't have to give it to me.
I've never even heard of that. I'm so glad I know.
Oh, you would like Kunk.
It's really
I would
funny.
I've never gotten it.
Yeah, seek him out.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
They have Kunk on Earth and Kunk on Life.
Which is the one with the castle scene. That's Earth, right?
Kunk on Earth.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, watch Kunk on Earth, and then there's more if you like it.
It's like a spoof. You can't tell from that commercial, but it's a spoof of like history, nonfiction shows.
Yeah.
Documentary.
But the host is amazing. Yeah.
But the host is like an idiot.
It's by the Black Mirror creator, too. So.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really good.
Good to know.
Okay, clip 12 is for Jessica.
All right.
There are stories out there that need to be told. There's shit out there that's just, you know, wrong. People need to know about it. That's the job. It's not a complicated job other than how it'll mess with your life. News used to be a bunch of guys who looked like me, huddled around a desk at a page one meeting deciding what the news was. This little fucker changed all of that. I've been fired from three papers, hired back at two of them. Third got gobbled up by Knight Ridder. So to be clear here, I'm a goddamn reservoir of do's and don'ts. Your sources are your Sherpas. Your editor is your priest. Honesty is not a tactic. You still want this job? It's your money.
Oh my God. I need a hint, please.
Your hint, and he is in the clip, is Eric Bogosian.
Oh, God.
The Bogos.
Yes, you're right. It is Eric Bogosian. I never would have gotten that. Oh, my gosh. I don't know this one at all.
Another excellent show, also on Netflix. What is it, Dave?
I don't know.
Oh, it's Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, on it's not a Netflix show. Oh, is that on Netflix now? No, okay. If you said AMC, I would have got it.
Mm-hmm. It's really
wow.
good. Great show.
I don't remember
all right.
that.
That's
the
very
show?
Beginning of the pilot. Mm, it's like his master
Speaking
class
of the
90s. Promo. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I did love that book, so mm-hmm. there you go. All right,
well,
good to know.
Way more gay sex in the show, so
I should hope so. As sold. Sounds great.
This is like it's like they're playing hockey.
Softness in his eyes, iron in his thighs.
All right.
Clip 13 is for Dave.
Yeah, sure. Classic.
With experience.
Pie chart at all.
That's the exact red ball. That's it. That's the ball I saw.
Okay. Almost tripped me up again. But I think this is not I Think You Should Leave, but this is The Chair Company.
Correct. Get the 3 points. Less a commercial than, you know, a jingle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's hear clip 14 and then we'll get a score break.
Oh, that was before I got rid of my Maryland accent. Does the O have it? Oh, we do. Do you O? Oh, no? Let go. Oh. Ugh, that accent's idiotic.
30 Rock.
Correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely Whew. Done. All right, let's get
I'll never forget that accent.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Okay.
All right. I did not give myself that point for whatever the kunk was. So
I didn't either.
I
Well, you said not to.
I know, but the way you said it.
Okay, sorry.
Did it give it to you? Didn't deserve it. I have 16.
Yep.
Jessica currently has 11.
Okay. Let's
respectable.
Hear the last two clips. Clip 15 is for Dave.
Imagine a world without lamination. Laminate, laminate, just in case you spill. Laminate, laminate on your granddad's will.
And you listen to that one more time, please.
Imagine a world without lamination. Laminate, laminate, just in case you spill.
I was worried it was from Would I Lie to You, but I don't think we have that quality of audience laughter.
Mm-mm.
So I'm going to say that was Taskmaster.
That is correct. 4-3 points. Final clip, and this is also edited for length. This is for Jessica.
Okay.
So what is he putting in there?
A secret. He'll grow up to have a wildly passionate and successful creative life, but not just yet.
Hey, Spencer! Spencer! Spencer!
Spencer. Yes, no. Also, check out other cool new toys for our sensitive boy line, like balconies for when they're ready to announce something, or a shattered mirror to examine the complex contradictions of their being.
That thing's weird. I don't get it.
That's because it's not for you. Because you have everything. Everything is for you. And this one thing is for him.
Wells for Boys by Fisher-Price. Don't just give him a Barbie. I mean, it is like that, but that's just part of it.
Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yeah, I got one.
Woo, you got a lot. You did very well. Okay. That's the end of regulation play. Let's get the scores.
All right, fine. All right, our final scores are Jessica closing strong with a final score of 14. And I was 5 ahead with a score of 19.
Good job, everyone.
Yay. Thanks. Good job, everybody.
Let's play the tiebreaker for Steel Meal for the Valued Guests.
Okay.
Okay.
First person to buzz in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready? Okay, here we go.
Look down. Back up. Yeah. Where am I? Huh? I am on a boat. What is in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It is a clam with two tickets to that thing you love.
Sesame Street.
On my
Sesame
nose.
Sesame Street.
Grover.
Oh,
I
Grover.
I recognize Grover in a hot second.
My brain was going gonzo because of
the special we just watched. Yeah. No, it's Grover doing the Old Spice commercial.
Sesame Street
style. Oh,
good ear.
Classic.
And that's it.
Yay.
Dave wins. Good job, Dave.
Good job, Dave.
Thanks.
I did better than last time, where I feel like last time I played Game Time, I got like nothing. And I started thinking like, oh my God, is my brain going? So this is good.
Dave.
Thank you, Tara. Fun. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this, another episode of Extra Hot Great. We turned our baseball caps backwards for the Ryan Murray horror film Love Story before going around the dial with stops at Going Dutch. Dutch boy, he was hard for your money. And Summer House. We discovered whether or not Paul Giamatti saying spooge on Star Trek was worse than jazz. Tara showed us it's time to get our canon list up to date with the modernization of Emily. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and I was a winner of this week's Game Time from Tara. Next up, it's Strip Law, where stripping is the law, on Extra, Extra Hot Great this Friday. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano.
On the Bob Newhart Show, Mrs. Bakerman's first name is Lillian.
No, but the actress.
Oh.
The end of the show is disintegrated. The absent Sarah D. Bunting and Jessica Morgan.
Good luck with your underwear model.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
Her name is Florida.
Ha 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 ha!
three doors?
Holy shit, what? Get to the basement, kids. Yes. Bob Newhart's here.
All right, stop that.
Florida Freebus.
Yeah, see? Told you.
Good memory. Oh, what a name. You're right.
Florida Freebus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It also sounds like a strain of marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Get yourself some good Florida Freebus.
Or a disease that comes back after vaccination rates get too low.
It's America's version of West Nile virus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. She's got Florida Freebus. Florida Freebus, guys.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.